Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Ryan McGuffey, Emmy Award-winning producer over at NBC Sports Chicago. I know that we talked about Michael Kopech before, but what should White Sox fans expect?
The work this guy puts in, not just on the physical side, because we've seen the physical side, but mentally, in baseball, as you know, it's such a game of failure. What he's able to do with all the things that go into it, you know, his mental skills coach and the big-time reader. He listens to, like, self-help podcasts. He's, you know, very positive thinker in ways that it's hard to really, you know, I'm 38 years old. He's 22, and he's got me stopping and thinking about, man, maybe I should look into some of this stuff. So he's just, for a 22-year-old kid, he kind of feels like he has a lot of experience and perspective. So you're getting kind of the whole package.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The new Bernstein and McKnight Show, middays 9 a.m. to 1.
David Bodie, the guy who actually hit it, they tear your uniform off like it's the Beatles in 1965.
I was running bases, and I knew my arm was up, and I was like, put your arm down, and I just couldn't put it down.
The new Bernstein and McKnight Show, middays 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Fleet.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. Start celebrating the Wolves' 25th anniversary season early by visiting the larger-than-life Wolves goalie masks located up and down Michigan Avenue, and circle your calendar for the Wolves home opener at Allstate Arena on October 13th. Roquan Smith was limited at Bears practice yesterday, and Mullion Hall asked Dave Wants said if he would play the rookie in Thursday's preseason finale.
The injury would be the only thing that would get me. If he's healthy, I would definitely play him. I mean, you talk about a guy that needs playing time, because I've had some not bad experiences, but yeah, disappointing experiences with guys that have held out. I mean, you know, going back to the Karnesidis days, and we're playing the first game and he's not in football shape and he takes himself out of the game. He's tired. You got to play.
The entire Wani interview available on 670thescore.com. To baseball, the Cubs are a season high 24 games above 500. 20 over at Wrigley. An excellent pitching matchup tonight at Clark and Addison. Cole Hamels against the Mets. Jacob DeGrom first pitch on The Score at 7:05. Joe Maddon joins Bernstein McKnight at noon. The White Sox are 19-17 since the All-Star break. James Shields versus Lance Lynn tonight. And NFL owners Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft have retained their DraftKings stakes, according to Darren Rovell, the Daily Fantasy site now getting into traditional sports betting. This update was brought to you by Ryan Kelly. Visit thehomeloanexpert.com. And breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai in Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. The next game on The Score tonight at 6:30 when the Cubs take on the Mets. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Volvo Orland Park.
Jeff Sullivan.
We want to go into the weeds. Jeff Sullivan of Fangraphs.
Senior editor at Fangraphs.
You get on base, we win. You don't, we lose. And I hate losing.
Going inside the numbers.
There are still dinosaurs out there, but there's exit velocity on national baseball games now. People are talking about UZR on broadcast. It's over.
You still don't need cyber metrics. If it has anything to do with figuring stuff out.
Jeff Sullivan with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
It's Tuesday. It's 10. That means this guy's here. Jeff Sullivan, senior editor of Fangraphs on Twitter at @based_ball, and with us on The Score. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, it also means you guys are here.
Yes. Amazing. We're here too. How are the wildfires? How's your worldview?
Well, speaking from a selfishly Portland perspective, the smoke has blown out of our air about, 5 days ago, but that just means it's gone somewhere else. So I feel bad for those people, but I'm happy to be able to breathe and have the windows open.
Sounds great. The appearance of Daniel Murphy in the Chicago Cubs lineup has correlated with offensive success. To what extent do you think it's caused it?
Well, it helps, right? You take a good player who's swinging the bat well. He's swinging the bat as well as he's swung in the past few years, and then you put him at the top of the lineup, and it's this is when the analysis gets easier, right? You just say, well, here's a good player, and he's going to play often, and then he's going to make the team better. So, I mean, whenever you're looking at a week or two of statistics, if a team is hot or cold, then there are a variety of factors that go into it. But, I mean, I was floored that Murphy got as far as the Cubs in the first place, and it's for so many reasons, especially given the teams they're competing against. It's just a really good addition. There's not a lot of on-field downside to adding Daniel Murphy.
Yeah, how did he get that far down? I mean, did the Brewers just add all of the giant-bodied, immobile middle infielders, and we're like, no, we're good, we have too many of these? I mean, it's an amazing process that he got there to begin with.
I know. I understand why a team like Milwaukee would maybe let him go by, because, like you said, they already kind of collected those guys. But the team that baffles me the most, I know the Diamondbacks would have had the space, but I just don't know what the Rockies were doing. I don't know if they decided that they didn't want Murphy. I don't know if they just missed him, because I know the waiver wire is crowded and, you know, people are busy. I don't know if it's just a sign of a show of faith in Ian Desmond or Matt Holiday, who's back in the major leagues now. I don't know exactly what the Rockies were doing, but that one floors me, because they've got next to nothing out of left field and first base. They have a first baseman who could play left field. Daniel Murphy could play first base. I don't get it, but it's already done. And, you know, and to their or in their defense, I guess almost anything can happen over the course of 1 month. So it's just as easy that maybe over in September, Ian Desmond slugs 650 and the Rockies never lose. But I didn't get that one at all.
So, Jeff, what do we know about lineup protection? What can we say definitively about it? What's still out there for us to find out? Because we've talked with Joe Maddon about this a couple of times, and he really has liked using Ben Zobrist in certain spots before or behind people because of the way he swings the bat, because of his profile. He's mentioned something similar about Daniel Murphy now that he's added that type of bat into a lineup. You know, it's clear that guys have different profiles, different swing paths, different abilities, you know, higher batting averages, more balls in play, that kind of thing. Do we know anything definitively about where those guys are chained together in a lineup and how it may or may not affect a pitcher?
Yeah, I think that there's something that's a little different between lineup protection and then where guys like to hit in the lineup. I know that it's easy to conflate the two or use the two interchangeably, but you have guys. I think of Lorenzo Cain, for example, the Brewers signed. They put him in the leadoff, and Lorenzo Cain has a whole new offensive profile. He's patient. He's taking a lot of walks, and you have guys who historically or currently they just prefer to hit in certain slots in the lineup, and they feel more comfortable, because even if the manager or the hitting coach says, you know, just go out there, be yourself, lineup slots come with certain traditional responsibilities that can get into a player's head. A guy might feel like he's a leadoff guy. A guy might feel like he's a cleanup guy. So I understand that where a guy hits in a lineup can make a difference for him. But as far as protection goes, there's never been any compelling research at all to suggest that having someone really good hitting behind someone else is going to make that second guy better. If you think about it intuitively, if you have a really good hitter and you decide to bat in fourth, and then you're trying to protect the guy batting third, then what, the pitcher is supposed to be afraid of the guy batting fourth, so then he throws more strikes to the guy batting third. But then if you pitch more aggressively, throw more strikes to the guy batting third, he's likely to get on base more because he's getting more hittable pitches, and then all of a sudden you're just stocking up the bases for the guy batting fourth. So intuitively, it kind of breaks down. I think when you look at it practically, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think Joey Votto has talked about how his favorite protection is just having guys on base in front of him, because hitters are better when there are runners on base. And that's just when you get to have, for example, Daniel Murphy and maybe Ben Zobrist hitting in front of a guy in the lineup, and then you're likely to have some crowded bases. And that's the real protection, because pitchers are just going to be distracted and the defense doesn't get to align itself so optimally when there are runners on base to worry about.
To what extent are hitters better with runners on base? Because very broadly, what effect do we actually see?
So when you are when you're looking at like league wide splits, and it's a little different because every individual is different. For example, if you're a left-handed batter and you're batting with the bases empty, or you're batting with the bases not empty, then the defense is likely to be shifting you a lot more aggressively when the bases are empty, because they can just play wherever they want. But when you're looking at this league-wide, for example, base is empty right now. I think the league average OPS is like 711, and then when you have people on base, it goes up to 754. So
wow, that's significant.
You're getting better. Yeah, you're just gonna get a few more extra hits, a few more balls in play are going to drop in because the defense isn't where they want to be, and some pitchers are just worse pitching out of the stretch, because maybe they just feel like they're rushed, or they have to simplify their mechanics. It's an advantage. So it kind of snowballs. If you have a lineup that gets on base a lot, then everyone's going to hit better because the pitcher just has a lot more going on.
So Carlos Rodon fought it a little bit against the Yankees last night, but he's by and large been on a terrific stretch, especially since popping that undershirt off. Boy, has he been good and fun to watch too. How much can you say about Rodon's bounce back? I mean, White Sox fans have waited for this guy to reach his pinnacle for quite some time, and whether it's because of injuries or fastball command, he just hasn't quite gotten there for long enough to prove it to anybody. Are we getting to some kind of prove it precipice here with Carlos Rodon?
Let's put it like this. I was kind of expecting to come on and talk about Kopech and Giolito, just because I'm planning to write about them both today. But they have been showing some signs of progress. And Rodon, he's a guy where I can't help but come at this from an analytical perspective. And of course, he's got the sub-3 ERA, which is very good. But I can tell you the batting average on balls in play he's allowed is 194, which is just impossibly low. Surprisingly, lately his velocity has actually been down a little bit from where it was when he first came back. I know he's been on a long road to recovery, coming off shoulder surgery. I know that it's good when you have a pitcher who is just preventing runs, but I don't see a whole lot of progress right now in Rodon's ability to throw strikes. His strikeouts aren't quite where they were in the past. I don't think he's a bad pitcher at all, and obviously he's been preventing runs, which is the whole point. But if I were to evaluate him, without having been influenced, I guess, but by some sort of other narrative, I would think, well, this looks like a guy whose ERA isn't real right now. It's good to have him back. It's good to have him healthy. His stuff is basically there from where it was before, which is, I think, the major concern. And he is still missing some bats. You like to see him maybe pitching to some better defensive catchers. But right now, I think this is still a guy whose command isn't where you want it to be for him to be at the level where his ceiling would be. He's pretty good, but for my purposes, I think he still has another level or two to go.
I gave these numbers yesterday. You may find them interesting as well. An emailer named Stonecutter provided us with this data. Here's pitcher A 2.22 ERA, 1.04 whip, 9.9 strikeouts per nine. Pitcher B, a 2.17 ERA, a 1.05 whip, and 10 strikeouts per nine, both absolutely spectacular. Pitcher A is 2003 Pedro Martinez. Pitcher B is a 2018 composite before yesterday of Cishek, Edwards, and Strope of the Cubs. They have combined, essentially, to be 2003 Pedro Martinez. And have you ever looked at historic groupings of relief pitchers, the so-called big three, you know, going back to like the Nasty Boys of the early 90s Reds with Charlton, Dibble, and Myers, or what was it, Mariano Rivera, John Wetland, and Jeff Nelson? There was the recent Royals
Moda
grouping.
Quantrill and Gagne, that's one for me.
Yeah, how often these things happen, or how often this is our human nature seeing patterns or needing to group things. But with the high variance of bullpens, is this just sometimes you spin the wheel and this happens in some years?
Yeah, I mean, now I have to speak to Pedro Martinez's defense, because he's maybe the greatest pitcher that ever there was. Maybe that's controversial, but of course he was a starting pitcher in 2003 out of the offensive environment, and now you're looking at three relievers in the strikeout era. Pedro Martinez, this is no one quite like Pedro Martinez. Unbelievable season. Anyway,
fair enough.
Not the point here. So we are in an era now, as you know, starting pitchers are throwing fewer innings, so there's more burden that's going to the bullpen. And what we've seen in the last few years, maybe even in response to some of those Royals teams who were so good, is that competitors have been stocking up their bullpens. Instead, I think it used to be, and this is overgeneralizing, but I think it used to be that teams would think, well, we have a closer, our bullpen is good. You know, maybe we'll have a setup guy, but then we're just going to hope our starters can pitch into the seventh and eighth. And now teams are like, well, we're lucky if our starters pitch into the seventh, and we want to have 2, 3, 4, 5 good relievers. The Cubs certainly have tried to stock up their bullpen, and where they are right now is really good. If you look at something that's called the win probability added, which I don't really want to get into right now. We can talk about it more after the season, but they're actually coming up. They're looking like they could have one of the more effective bullpens in the last 30 years of Major League history. Now, they're not quite on the level of this year's Oakland A's, and you look at them, of course, Blake Treinen and Lou Trevino, and you've got Jairus Familia back there. They have a really good bullpen that's going on right now. Also added Fernando Rodney. But, yeah, you think back on the Royals, and maybe they started it. They had Ray Davis, Ryan Madsen, Kelvin Herrera. Greg Holland was in there, too. Luke Hochschaver even popped up a few times. And their recent Orioles teams were really good when you had Britton and Michael Givens, Brad Brock, Darren O'Day. And these are just some recent teams. The Pirates had a good bullpen toward the end. It was Melanson, Watson, and I'm forgetting who the third one was. But you're seeing teams who are trying to make their bullpens to essentially have now like three possible closers. You look at the Astros and manager AJ Hinch won't even name a closer because he's just going between different options. And this is something that I assume you're going to see at least as much of, if not more of, moving forward. You've got those, you know, the Nasty Boys in the past. It's kind of a freak team. Most teams didn't even try to have a bullpen that good. And right now, that is where teams are looking for a competitive edge. So to the Cubs' credit, they have had a very good top of the bullpen, and it's allowed them to separate themselves. So I don't think this is like one of the greatest trios of all time, but in terms of how they've actually pitched to this point, this has been one of the great separators for this team.
Jeff, you teased us a little bit with the Kopech and Giolito idea that you're writing on. Tease us a little bit here. What will you be looking at on FanGraphs for both of those White Sox starters?
Yeah, so this would be separate. And we've talked about Giolito so many times on this segment,
yep.
Just with so much optimism at first, and then just, you know, the air came out of the balloon over the following few months. But just looking at, these are separate articles, but just looking at Giolito in August, his numbers are tremendous, and his velocity is up around 95 miles per hour with his fastball. And I haven't figured out, I've been going over video, I was doing it yesterday, I'm going to get back to some mechanical analysis today, but he just looks so much smoother than he did. It's, I don't know if it's even worth saying right now, but if anyone out there were to watch a video of Lucas Giolito, he, when the start of the season, even through June or July, when he would follow through, he would just have this like leg kick, his back leg would just kick around him, and he would just look really, I don't know, intense. There was a lot of electricity, but it just seemed like his back leg was just trying to catch up to the rest of him. Right now, it just looks like he's in sequence. His arm slot has moved up since the start of the year, and he looks like he's commanding his pitches. So if you are Lucas Giolito, looks like he has his mechanics down, looks like his velocity is the best that it's been all season. Finally, we didn't need to talk about whether they should demote him to AAA anymore, because it looks like he's actually starting to figure something out at the major league level, which is great. And he's been, I think, his hype has been now surpassed by Michael Kopech, who, of course, has come up, and he's thrown 70-71% strikes over his first start and a half. I think it is worth remembering that when you have Michael Kopech throwing this many strikes, it is a side effect of him sort of backing off his peak stuff. So we haven't seen him miss a lot of bats in the zone. He hasn't been overwhelmingly dominant, but the fact of the matter is Kopech has come up, and for 9 games in a row now, he's thrown strikes like prime Cliff Lee. Like, that's just something no one would have ever expected of a pitcher like this. And his changeup hasn't really shown up yet in the bigs. It's been a start and a half. They've clearly wanted him to get ahead with his fastball. When he's thrown the first pitch, when he's been behind the count, he's thrown almost exclusively fastballs. Obviously, they're just trying to get him comfortable in the zone. But this is very exciting, because there's a level of polish here that I don't think anyone thought we'd see from Kopech anytime soon, if ever.
Jeff, always great. Look forward to talking again next week.
Absolutely. You take care.
That is Jeff Sullivan, the senior editor of FanGraphs.
What did we do to Jeff that he feels like he needs to stump for Pedro Martinez? Did we do something wrong?
No, that hits
no
close.
One will ever have to on this show stump for Pedro Martinez. That man is God.
Yeah, that hits close to home for him for some reason.
Nothing wrong with that.
I don't know. This segment brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma today. Credit Karma, get knowing.
Peck's throwing strikes like Cliff Lee.
I didn't think we'd get a Cliff Lee comedy. He is doing something historic, though. Michael Kopech actually accomplished something that I believe hasn't been done since near the turn of the 20th century, as far as what he's done in his first 2 games. something. It's an incredible little statistical quirk.
I hadn't read this, I'm very interested.
We'll get to that. And in a Cubs historical achievement for Kyle Hendricks as well.
Well, you're just full of it this morning, aren't you? It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Cubs manager Joe Maddon joins the Bernstein and McKnight Show today at noon.
I believe in our hitters. I believe there's a nice run coming up, but for right now, it's been difficult.
Talk Cubs with Joe on the Bernstein and McKnight Show today at noon. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Keep your car on the road with quality parts and Napa know-how. Today's birthday shout-out goes to Pierre Turgeon, Buffalo's first overall pick back in the 1987 NHL draft. Turgeon amassed 515 goals and 1,327 points in 19 seasons, retiring as the highest-scoring player not elected to Hockey's Hall of Fame. He's also a valuable answer to trivia questions. Turgeon is one of a handful of NHL stars who played in the Little League World Series, and last year, he ended a 10-year retirement to become the league's first offensive coordinator. His efforts resulted in a bounce-back season for Anze Kopitar and the Kings' return to the playoffs. However, in June, Turgeon re-retired to spend more time watching his son Dominic, a Red Wings prospect, and daughter Val, a Harvard junior, play hockey. So happy 49th birthday, Tin Man. Have a great day. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Circle K's Polar Pop lets you do you. Choose your Polar Pop cup, favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece. Only 89 cents every day. Only at Circle K.
Luke Bryan, What Makes You Country Tour. What makes you country? Saturday, September 1st at Wrigley Field. Play it again. With special guest Sam Hunt. John Party, Carly Pierce, and DJ Rock. Get access to preferred seating with your City Advantage card. Buy tickets at Cubs.com/Luke Bryan or 1-800-THE-CUBS.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses, and you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk, but one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
State Farm, this is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it, but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash-talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Pros know there's more to a roof than shingles. That's why the Home Depot carries GAF's Lifetime Roofing System. From underlayment and leak barriers to shingles, ventilation, and more. Delivered right to your job site in job lot quantities. For complete roofing systems, get everything you need under one roof. Ours. The Lifetime Roofing System. Exclusively from GAF. And available at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
Right now at Sprint, get the super powerful new Samsung Galaxy Note 9 at 50% off with a Sprint Flex lease. Plus, get annual upgrades with Galaxy Forever. Visit a Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1. Note 9, $2,083 per month after $2,084 per month. Credit applied within 2 bills. Requires new line and 18-month lease. Early termination results and remaining balance due. Upgrade after 12 lease payments. Offer coverage not available everywhere. Excludes taxes. Requires qualifying plan. Subject to credit, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Summer's here, and that means a trip to Circle K, home of the one and only Polar Pop Cup. We're here to help you keep cool. In fact, you can't imagine anything colder. And Circle K lets you choose your Polar Pop Cup, your favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece in the coolest cup around. Only 89 cents every day. Polar Pop lets you do you. Only at Circle K. Polar Pop!
Thinking about running the Bank of America Chicago Marathon? Team One Step has your guaranteed entry. Our team supports Camp One Step, and we run to send kids with cancer to camp. Join Team One Step and receive a guaranteed entry, coaching, training plans, and fundraising support. Run with our team and give kids with cancer a life-changing camp experience. Join now and become a hero to a kid with cancer. To sign up or to learn more, go to teamonestep.org or call 312-924-4220. Stream the score with radio.com. It's easy. Go to radio.com/listen or download the radio.com app now and get all your favorite score shows live on your mobile device. Stream the score with radio.com.
One of Chicago's most legendary teams partners with 670 The Score, official play-by-play home for Bulls basketball on the radio.
Levine, baseline, well, right-handed, powered up. Oh, my goodness.
Rainbow three, go.
What a shot.
Zipser's going to attempt a left side three.
Yes.
The kick out, Portis, three ball for the tie.
Yes.
Bobby Portis has tied the ball game with a triple.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, your new radio home for the Bulls.
Or during the summer sales event. Get 0%.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Ryan McGuffey, Emmy Award-winning producer over at NBC Sports Chicago. I know that we've talked about Michael Kopech before, but what should White Sox fans expect?
I mean, he's kind of really done everything the White Sox have wanted him to do. He's kind of stuck to their plan. He's struggled at AAA, and he's come out clean on the other side. And I mean, look what he's done those last seven starts. I mean, his off-speed stuff had guys guessing, knees were wobbling. The fastball's a fastball. I mean, most people aren't going to be able to catch up to it. But when you're throwing stuff off-speed, that's breaking the way it was breaking, the changeup was just ugly on the in and outside corners of the plate. That was the first time I was like made a note to myself like, man, Kopech was in complete command, complete control.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Flash higher.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We've been on a really good run, you know, the last week or two. Just been throwing the ball real well as a staff. Bullpen's still been keeping up their end, so it's nice to just feel that role one start after another. Guys going out there and just performing and making pitches.
The professorial tones of one Kyle Hendricks, you hear those often, and he's made a little bit of history, as has Michael Kopech, and I promised I would get you both of these things. Baseball Reference reports, and I know you're going to roll your eyes because of the extenuating circumstances here. Michael Kopech is the only pitcher.
Oh, here we go.
Is the only.
Here we go.
What? Don't give me a here we go.
No, I love it. I love it. No.
I just
give
got a
me,
couple things
give
here.
Give me historical caveats left and right here on the Bernstein
Stop
and McKnight
it.
Show. I want it.
Michael Kopech is the only pitcher since 1908 to start his first two MLB games and give up one or zero runs and zero walks in both.
Okay.
Go
okay.
Bears!
Okay. Okay. Hell yes.
Now, one of those.
Hell yes. Sign me up.
One of those was two innings.
Buy me a jersey.
And shortened by rain. But you cannot debate the statistical fact. It may not be meaningful.
No, I can't.
It was 52 pitches.
If
it was two innings. It was very shreddy. And we got a very good look at him and his range of pitches and his 98-mile-an-hour heater.
We are the show that revels in small sample size. We were the first to call Matt Davidson after he jacked three homers on opening day. Yes, mm-hmm. We will celebrate the small sample
yes,
size.
Yes, but again, he is the first pitcher since 1908 to
Hell
start
yes.
his first two MLB games and give up one or no runs and zero walks in both.
So say anything about his Hollywood looks in that start? No. Who was the guy in 1908? Was he as ruggedly handsome as Michael Kopech?
I don't think anybody walking the face of the earth was the size of Michael Kopech in 1908.
I think that's entirely possible. Right?
He would have, had Michael Kopech existed in 1908, people would have thought he had descended from Asgard.
Was somebody, anybody as sweaty as him either?
No. Well,
in 1908, Kaiser Wilhelm.
Maybe.
Without question, Kaiser Wilhelm.
They were still wearing petticoats underneath their uniforms in 1908.
When was Taft president? That led to a lot of sweating.
When was Taft president?
My favorite, and I don't care if it's real or not, story was the fact that he gave up his seat on a train to three women.
He got stuck in the bathtub, didn't he?
No, he gets stuck in two. No, they made the giant bathtub for him.
Oh, see, I thought they made the giant bathtub because he was stuck in the first one.
Is William Howard Taft the official president of the I'm Fat podcast? Is he the only president you recognize?
Yes.
Okay, making sure. And only Supreme Court justice, probably.
Taft was in office from 09 to 13. 09 to 13, nice. Sorry. And then 21 to 30 as Chief Justice of the United States.
And he was in...
Where he served in a bathtub.
he rendered all his decisions.
No need for robes here, fellas. I'll just sit in the tub.
I descend. Splash.
William Jennings Bryan can't do this from a tub. Get out of here.
You hear the duck squeak?
His descent was throwing,
no gavel.
Throwing rubber ducks at fellow justices as a show of dissent. Where's Taft? He's over there. Everybody else is sitting there.
He's got a party sub in there with him.
Just floating.
He dips it every once in a while just to make it easier to eat fast.
Bath is full of au jus.
Softer to chew.
Bathing in gravy.
My arms are stuck in the tub again. Would you just hold this sub somewhere above my mouth and rub my jaw so it goes down easier?
He was in my crossword puzzle. I want to say...
Taft was?
Yeah, I want to say it was first president to be buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Is that right?
I'm only. Because there's no room.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Now we got out of room for anybody else.
We did not plan this well.
God, I love fat jokes. They're so easy. It makes for such easy comedy. Okay, now you're interesting, but right before the update, I'm going to ask you this question, and I want you to think about this while you're also concentrating listening to the update.
Yeah, everybody does that.
Kyle Hendricks is up to 15.3 wins above replacement for his career. He is the first Cubs pitcher since blank to break 15 in the first five seasons of his career. And he is the sixth Cubs pitcher since 1970 to do this. How many Cubs pitchers since 1970 can you name?
This is a good one.
Who were up to 15 wins above replacement in their first five seasons.
Okay.
Interesting.
Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. Start celebrating the Wolves' 25th anniversary season early by visiting the larger-than-life Wolves goalie masks. Located up and down Michigan Avenue, encircle your calendar for the Wolves home opener at Allstate Arena on October 13th. The Cubs, perfect 6-0 with Daniel Murphy in the lineup, and Cole Hamels has a 0.79 ERA after five starts with the Northsiders. Hamels against the Mets' Jacob deGrom tonight at 7:05 right here on The Score. Joe Maddon joins Bernson McKnight at noon. The White Sox are 10-2 in their last 12 road games. Their trip continues at Yankee Stadium. James Shields opposed by Lance Lynn. And Cowboys owner Jerry Jones told 105.3 The Fan in Dallas that an 18-game regular season and two preseason games would create a safer game for the players. Okay. Fantasy Football Today on The Score is sponsored by Great Clips. Is your hair becoming the subject of mocking at the draft? Get a great cut now at Great Clips. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. The next game on The Score tonight at 6:30 when the Cubs take on the Mets. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment's brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. Kyle Hendricks is the first Cub to compile 15-plus wins above replacement in his first 5 years of pitching as a Cub since?
First 5 years in the league, right? So this wouldn't be an acquire and then 5 years as a Cub.
As far as I know, okay. Correct.
It would seem that way.
The first 5 years in the league.
I would bet you that the last guy to do it would be Carlos Zambrano.
Carlos Zambrano did it. He is third on this list from 2001 to 2005, and he compiled an impressive 18.4 wins, but he is not the most recent. He was concurrent in those years, however, with the guy who did.
Kerry Wood.
Kerry Wood is fourth. He did it from 1998 to 2003.
Damn.
And there's one big name on there from that group. Mark Pryor. Mark Pryor did it from 2002 to 2006. He compiled 15.8. Kerry Wood, 19.6. Now, the next two names.
See, I had worried about starting opportunities there because WAR is a counting stat. So injuries derail the counting stat. But 15.3, I guess that barrier is not too tough to cross.
Now, the number five is highly improbable because of what you just said. Number six is not. And number six actually had the most during that time period of his first 5 years. I'll give you the years here. Let's see. The number six pitcher to do this on the Cubs with 20.3 wins did so from 1972 to 1976. And number five, the improbable one, was able to accrue 18.5 wins from 1976 to 1980.
Wow. Ja-Ja Binks. Pretty clearly. Yep.
Both terrific players. One was a Cy Young winner.
And you're telling me that injuries made this
It's not injuries, but something you said before about likelihoods of what kinds of pitchers are able to accrue wins.
Yeah, guys who stick around in games long.
And guys who start. One of these is not a starter.
Really?
But was a spectacular enough reliever to eventually become a Hall of Famer.
Lee Smith?
Nope.
No. Oh, nope. Yeah. He's
before
not.
That. Cy Young winner, Hall of Famer, known for a wicked forkball.
Oh.
And known in my mind for, in his old age, looking oddly like Pete Townsend.
And then going over to play for a division rival?
He did.
Yeah. Okay. So there you have it.
Yeah. Bruce Sutter from 1976 to 1980. Think about because again, that's relievers pitching seventh, eighth, ninth.
Too. Yes. That helps.
When you're talking about the big save numbers, yep. They were coming in and locking down games. They were the one man full bullpen back then, the Gossages and the Suitors of that
you're
era.
Right. You're right.
And so Bruce Sutter was.
Wally Fingers is.
Correct. But number six, a really underappreciated pitcher who was damn good for a long time and also was a decent hitter, was a better athlete than his rotund body type would suggest.
Your guy.
We were
talking about him a little while ago, weren't we?
Yeah. Really, really good pitcher. Rick Rushel.
Huh.
20.3 wins above replacement from 1972 to 1976.
Not to make another fat joke here, but there's got to be some meat left on this bone. There's two other pitchers, right? There's got to be a few more.
Well, that's it. It's Hendricks, Pryor. This is as far as recency. Hendricks, Pryor, Zambrano, Wood, Sutter, and Rushel since 1970. And the only others on the Fergie Jenkins did 21.6 from 1966 to 69. Dick Ellsworth, Johnny Schmitz.
So that means Greg Maddux did not?
Correct.
And that means Steve Traxel did not?
Apparently not. Mordecai Three Finger Brown he did it with 19 wins. Ed Ruhlbach
did it by pitching 12 innings.
Look at this. Bill Hutchinson from 1889 to 1892 had 30.8 wins, and something called John Clarkson from 1884 to 1887 was good for 36.7 wins in his first five Cubs seasons.
Okay, Maddux falls just short, 13.8 in his first five seasons, and some of that has to do with pitching 31 innings, I would imagine, in 1986. His first year in the big leagues.
Some big news broken by the Score's Bruce Levine regarding the Cubs and their television plans after next year. He's going to give us more details next on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on the Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's sports morning show.
I don't agree with Matt Nagy that the 2,000 practice snaps outweigh what you could gain in one half of game action against live NFL defenders.
When you're going full speed against full speed, that's when you learn something about what you're doing.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports.
If you're planning a bathroom update, chances are a boring vanity is not high on your list. At the Home Depot, it's not on ours either. Come in now or go online for up to 40% off a beautiful vanity you'd be proud to call your own. To match your style, whatever your style, and fit your budget perfectly. Sorry, not available in boring. Select vanities up to 40% off in-store, online, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through September 19th, Continental U.S. only while supplies last.
Right now at Sprint, get the super powerful new Samsung Galaxy Note 9 at 50% off with a Sprint Flex lease. Plus, get annual upgrades with Galaxy Forever. Visit a Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1. Note 9, $2,083 per month after $2,084 per month. Credit applied within 2 bills. Requires new line and 18-month lease. Early termination results and remaining balance due. Upgrade after 12 lease payments. Offer coverage not available everywhere. Excludes taxes. Requires qualifying plan. Subject to credit, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses, and you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure, you were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
State Farm, Robert here.
Robert, somebody burned down my she shed.
No one burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Oh, really, Victor? Because my she shed's burning up in the backyard.
Your she shed was struck by lightning, Cheryl.
Robert, does State Farm cover my she shed?
What's a she shed?
She turned our shed into her hideaway, Robert.
Oh, yeah, that's covered.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she shed.
Can we stop saying she shed now?
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Summer's here, and that means a trip to Circle K, home of the one and only Polar Pop Cup. We're here to help you keep cool. In fact, you can't imagine anything colder. And Circle K lets you choose your Polar Pop Cup, your favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece in the coolest cup around. Only 89 cents every day. Polar Pop lets you do you. Only at Circle K. Polar Pop!
Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The new Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays 9 a.m. to 1.
David Bodie, the guy who actually hit it, joins us again on the Bernstein and McKnight Show.
I thought the 1-1 take was pretty impressive. I know you reacted afterward as though it might not have been a strike or you didn't like where it was. If you're looking down like that and take that and then get it called, although, you know, it looks like it might have nipped the zone, what's the routine to refocus after getting what you thought you wanted and then having it called?
Right. Yeah. So I thought it was a little bit down, and looking at it again, it did dip. So I mean, great call by the umpire there. Bill and I have been talking about that a lot of sticking to your approach, whatever it is, because it changes. You know, the game can change mid pit. You know, mid at bat.
Dan Bernstein now in middays, joined by returning Score guy Connor McKnight, 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
The Half Price Books 20% off sale starts this Friday. Books, music, movies, it's the biggest sale of the season. And it all starts Friday at Half Price Books and Half Price.
26.2 miles of city streets, 29 vibrant and diverse neighborhoods, 1.7 million cheering spectators. You won't want to miss the Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 7th. The 2018 application is now open. Apply today at chicagomarathon.com. Thanks for streaming The Score. We are Chicago's original and number one sports station. And of course, your official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Where in 2018, you'll hear Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer deliver more of this.
Swing a line drive down the left field line. Base hit. Cubs win.
Anthony Rizzo with a game winner. High fly ball, deep right field. Get out, the tape measure, long gone. Kyle Schwarber's second home run of the game.
Bryant Flood to center his first time. Drives one in the air, deep left field, down the line. If it's fair, it's long gone. That ball is a fair ball. Home run. Russell drives one in the air to left field. If it's fair, it's going to leave the yard. That ball is a three-run homer. Addison Russell with a three-run home run.
Every Cubs game, spring training through the postseason, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
74VAS.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I think the biggest thing is just having a place where you know you can go every day to watch Cubs baseball. And, you know, all the three partners have been wonderful. WGN for decades and decades, now NBC Sports Chicago, Channel 7 the last few years. But I think just on a practical level, there will be a point where you find a channel and there the Cubs are and here we go. So that makes it a little easier.
Cubs voice Len Casper just this morning on with Mully and Haw talking about the news that was broken by this man, Bruce Levine of Sports Radio 670 The Score on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. And that is that the probability has become reality that the Cubs are indeed planning on setting out for their own television venture starting after next season. Bruce Levine joins us on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Nice job on that story, Bruce.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And what Len's saying is true. But it's not so simple, and we can delve into that or tackle other parts of the story if you wish.
Yeah, what makes it complicated?
Well, the ever-changing world of cable buyers and media buyers and people from 25 to 50 buying their media elsewhere other than general cable and streaming, the idea that you already pay if you are buying cable for a sports package. And that sports package will probably go up significantly depending on your cable carrier and whether or not, number one, that the Cubs, White Sox, Bulls, you know, Hawks separately are going to be charging more for their product, and two, whether the cable carrier indeed will carry these products at all. That is what's happened to the Los Angeles market. That is why only 30 to 40% of the games are on all the cable stations in Los Angeles, and many people do not see Dodger games.
So, Bruce, I'm wondering this, too. There's, you know, the MLB streams, and you can find games on your devices if you want to, as long as you're not in the region that MLB has selected in their archaic blackout restriction rules. Do you get the sense that the Cubs have any assurances, or really anybody who's starting cable networks, so to speak, have any assurances about that changing at all? Because that in itself could be a big game changer if teams strike out on their own like this.
Well, Connor, I mean, you bring up a great point. You know, Disney bought the 25% of some video from MLB mm-hmm. for a significant amount of money. Streaming, you know, is the way of the future. It's already here. As to what form it takes and how refined and defined you can take that product, that remains to be seen. You know, how that can be manipulated in the future. Certainly, you know, that is something that, you know, they're going to be visiting, and MLB is going to be changing that. You know, and as an add-on to this, MLB.com has changed its entire format over the last couple of years. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but about 150 people were fired last year by MLB.com. That means that they're going to continue to have MLB.com have writers and follow teams and supply content. But the main content, video, audio, all those things are going to go right back to the teams. And the teams are going to be controlling that and individually. It's a great story that's underreported at this point, that that content was always meant for the teams to do, but MLB.com, starting, what, you know, 15 years ago, whatever it was, took it on initially, and now they're they're backing away and letting the teams handle all of that themselves.
Is there enough Cubs-related or Cubs even connected programming for a 24-hour, 24/7 TV lineup? Or will, you know, this is my speculation here, and I'm not saying I'm reporting this. We know that Crane Kenny's ties to Notre Dame, for example, are very, very strong. And because the Notre Dame does have some more autonomy and independence with its broadcast rights, maybe more so than other colleges that are more conference connected, is it possible that that would make sense as a kind of programming partner?
Oh, I think so. And you take that a step further, and you see the connections they've made with the Big Ten and Northwestern and trying to have games at Wrigley Field. I think you add in the Big Ten Network as something that would be certainly involved in one of those networks, and you know, more than likely the Cubs have been pursuing that over a period of time too, because programming is king. What do you do the other 100 or 200 days out of the year when you're not broadcasting a Cub game? Yeah, people will go and watch the replay, certainly, but yeah, how much of that will they really have a stomach for over the winter and fall? So you have to have other programming, and you know, you look at the YES Network and what they've done, and you see a lot of infomercials and things like that. That's one of the problems for the Cubs if they're going to bring in a partner to join them, let's say an AT&T or a Fox or somebody like that. The problem is that there's not enough programming to make it watchable all the time. Therefore, how do you bring in, as you mentioned, Dan, enough program to make it a viable station when the Cubs are not playing?
You know the voice, of course. It's Bruce Levine of The Score. Broke the story that the Cubs are branching out on their own, creating a television network all to themselves. Where are they going to do this, Bruce? Like, how long have they been planning this in their brand new palace right there and the Triangle property, the erstwhile Triangle property? Are there, you know, studio space there? They've bought a lot of real estate from Waveland to Sheffield. Are they going to, you know, fire up one of the rooftop buildings and create their own television studios there? How much is planned on that?
They could do that. They have a new building as well, you know, so they can make space in there as well as that old building that they have on Clark Street. But in reality, I think the preference is that they do not produce their own product, that they have a partner who handles all of that, an experienced partner. So it cuts down on all of your expenses. And, you know, this Mike McCarthy, who they hired, who ran MSG and was president of St. Louis Blues, he has, you know, a tremendous background in doing it. So they might do this thing in parts. What I mean by parts is maybe for a couple years they do produce it themselves while they're looking for a viable partner. It creates a can of worms because you have to hire so many people to run your entity. You have to hire camera people. You have to production. You have graphics.
Sales.
A world full of people that you really don't have much experience in handling other than Mr. McCarthy is going to come in and oversee all this. So the preference is to have a partner that handles the production, somebody that's experienced in it, whether it's Disney, AT&T, Fox, that would be the preference. If you could still get your close to $1 million of broadcast once it's all said and done.
It's going to be cooking with David Ross, painting with David Ross, book club with David Ross. You know, you look at some of these automatic hires that you think are coming there. I think it's great for our market. Regardless of who the partner is, there's jobs. I mean, look at the sales jobs, the production jobs, the camera jobs. It's nice.
Well, you know, look at Dan. Look at the regional as far as the radio goes, and wanting and needing to have radio shows simulcast at the same time, much like ESPN has done over the years, and Comcast has done it a little bit over a period of time. But now you have people that are going to be fighting for programming. You're going to have the White Sox, Bulls, Hawks regional, you're going to have the Cubs regional. So they're going to be in a little bit of a fist fight for programming on both. And the White Sox, Bulls, and Hawks have the advantage, certainly, when it's not spring and summertime because of the fact that they have sports that play in the winter. But with this, you're going to have programming, local programming that's going to be satisfactory.
Do they own, does a major league team inherently have ownership rights or sort of like eminent domain rights over minor league broadcasts, affiliated minor league broadcasts, or are they completely independent? I wonder if they would simply be allowed if they wanted to show Iowa Cubs or Arizona Fall League games or their own winter ball, I mean, stuff that goes on at their academy in the Dominican Republic. How much can the Cubs just flip a switch and have stuff, or is that all to be negotiated?
Now, that's a great question, because I don't have the answer, but I will tell you, how many games have we seen of minor leagues for the White Sox this year? I mean, they probably had, with all their minor leagues, probably at least 30 games scheduled, you know, this year to watch. And I don't know if it's as easy as flipping a switch or it can be a part of your regular programming, but it certainly was for the White Sox. I think they scheduled, what was it, like 15 games from Charlotte this year?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting aspect itself, because the sports fan and the baseball fan in particular are so savvy now when it comes to metrics and also following the minor leagues, because it's so easy to do on your phone or wherever you're at now. You can just check video everywhere of what your favorite minor league player is doing and what Eloy did today and what Kopech did 10 days ago. That's all an interesting part of the mix of what programming could be like going forward for both of these regionals.
While we have you here, Bob Nightingale included Joe Maddon among the possibilities that he says his fate is tenuous. Said Maddon wants to continue managing, but if the Cubs fail to make the playoffs or go out quickly, his fate is tenuous. Several baseball executives told USA Today on the condition of anonymity. The executives did not want to speak publicly about Madden's situation. And I don't know the extent to which that's true, but I know Bob Nightingale, while I've had some quibbles with what he's written in the past, I know he's not a Yahoo, and I'm sure people are indeed telling him that. I can't imagine the Cubs starting a television channel without their lead actor here, without their star. I mean, the amount of programming that he gives you with you're the face of your team, a guy willing to do and enjoys media as much as he does. These stories commingle in my mind. Do they in yours?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, nobody sells the Cubs and Cub baseball like Joe Maddon. I think that's point well taken. And on top of that, what has he done other than average 95 wins a year and now possibly taking the Cubs to their first four seasons in a row of 90 wins in 110 years to warrant being fired? I don't see how it's substantiated where, certainly we saw Joe Girardi get fired for what appeared to be some strange reason last year with the Yankees being a game away from going to the World Series. But in general, how do you even broach telling the fans that Joe Maddon's not your manager any longer? Sure, people get upset with his lineups and they wonder about, you know, some of the things with his bullpen. But I think this is his strongest year. I think it's a year that he stood above himself from those other years by handling the fact that two of your top pitchers gave you nothing, that you had an offense that fluttered at many points, and he took a bullpen and pieced it together to the point where I think it's his best managing job. So I don't see how it's warranted. Anything can happen in our sports world, we know that, but unless there's a disconnect between Joe and the front office that we are not aware of, I just don't see this happening. And Bob's a good friend of mine. He's an entertaining and smart writer and breaks a lot of stories. But sometimes, you know, this was a part of a story about 10 managers that are on the bubble for getting fired.
Bruce, thanks as always.
Thanks, Bruce.
And, again, good job on the newsy side of it.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Take care.
That is Bruce Levine of The Score. We have the Midday Midway coming up. I am going to be almost comically on brand with my Midway stories here.
Okay.
It is both a person near and dear to my heart and a cause near and dear to my heart. If you are an attentive Bernstein and McKnight listener, and I want to thank the people who, of course, led me to find these
shepherded
stories.
Shepherded you there?
Yes, brought me along and said, Bernstein, this is for you, and indeed, these are for me, and they will be given back to you.
This is in the wheelhouse. Dan, go ahead and swing. I got a story about a very notable, one of those popular brands of the 90s has somehow survived and perhaps thrived by an overindulgence. Also, saw one guy get a lot of money in New York just this last 12 hours or so. Well, apparently, the story gets a little crazy about how he was courted and scouted this offseason as well. We'll get into that in the midday midway next. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
If you're planning a bathroom update, chances are a boring vanity is not high on your list. At the Home Depot, it's not on ours either. Come in now or go online for up to 40% off a beautiful vanity you'd be proud to call your own. To match your style, whatever your style, and fit your budget perfectly. Sorry, not available in boring. Select vanities up to 40% off in-store, online, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through September 19th, Continental US only while supplies last.
That Bears t-shirt isn't just a t-shirt. It's a badge of honor that shows the world who you stand with on game day. And you can get it for 20% less when you have a Chicago Bears PNC Visa debit card.
Visit pnc.com/Chicago Bears.